We're going to talk about the Lord's Supper today, and not only what it is, but what it is not. The Lord's Supper is not fast food. It's not. I want you to turn with me in John chapter 15. And during Passion Week, our Lord had some wonderful words, because the Lord's Supper is all about love, God's love for you, for me, and for the whole world. Verse 9 in chapter 15, as the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you. There are four things we could think about and talk about when we talk about the supper. There's the meal. There's the host. There's the table, and there's the people. Those are really four major items we think about when we think about the Lord's Supper. And there's a lot to think about. This meal is unlike any other meal that we eat. It's and we're thankful for that. You know, this meal is not did y'all ever grow up eating the frozen fish fillets when you were a kid? Your mom, she just didn't feel like cooking. She'd just throw those in the microwave, and there you presto, there you go, there's dinner. Anybody ever eaten hospital food? Or airline food? And of course we have fast food. This meal is different in a lot of ways, but one of the ways it's different is when you eat, you're doing so to fill your stomach, right? I mean, you're trying to do something for yourself. You have yourself in mind. I just realized this morning that when I came to church that this jacket doesn't fit me anymore. It feels like a tent. Look at that. It's amazing. So I'm going to leave it unbuttoned, stand behind the pulpit as long as I can. But this is probably the last time you're going to see this jacket. Well, when I bought this jacket, I had a problem. The problem was I was just trying to fill my stomach, you know, as much as I could and with anything and everything that I could. I really had a problem. And so I've been working on that problem, and it's something all of us, or some of us don't ever have that problem, but most of us have that problem. We have to deal with it all our lives, particularly living in our country. In other countries, they don't. This meal is different, though. This meal is not about filling your stomach. It's not about even just you as an individual, because this meal connects all of us together. You know, in a few minutes when we participate in the unleavened bread and in the juice, have you noticed something? We all do it at the same time. Now, do y'all do that when you go home and eat? Do y'all sit down at the table and wait for everybody to get there and say, okay, everyone together, let's take the first bite. Everybody together, let's take the second bite. No, we don't do that. Everybody is doing their own thing. Somebody might be drinking the iced tea while somebody else is eating their cheese enchilada, and somebody else might be eating something totally different all different sizes, shapes, varieties, all different times. Not here. Not at this table. At this table, we are all going to eat the same thing, and we're going to do it together in unison. Isn't that interesting? What is it we're going to share together? I say share, that word connection, that word koinonia, that word fellowship, not only with each other, but also with the Lord. Well, we're going to participate in the unleavened bread and in the juice. The unleavened bread, all the leaven is gone. Leaven, not every time, but most of the time in the Bible, it represents sin. There was no sin in our Lord. Well, the thing that's missing in the supper is what? What's missing? We have the bread. We have the fruit of the vine. What's missing? The Paschal lamb, right? The Passover lamb. The Passover turned into the Last Supper, which then turned into the Lord's Supper. There's no lamb bones up here. There's no lamb meat up here. There's no mutton up here. Why is that? Why is it absent from the table? Because our Lord became the Paschal lamb. He became the Passover lamb. He was the lamb who was without sin, who was led to the slaughter. And he allowed the Roman soldiers, along with the Jewish leadership, to do so that he could die on the cross for us, as we all know. These elements represent sacrifice. So when we're participating, there's great symbolism in the bread and in the fruit of the vine. And that symbolism is hemmed in sacrifice, the greatest sacrifice of all time. When our Lord gave his life, Jesus said, "I am the bread of life." His death is what enables us to have life. And then we also have the fruit of the vine. And in Jesus' day, they did a couple different things. They would take the fruit from the grape juice, and they would heat it up and make grape juice. Why would they do that? And they would call it wine. Why would they do that? Because they want to get all the bacteria out of it. You had two options back in the days of Jesus. You had water and you had wine. You didn't have Gatorade, you didn't have Diet Coke, you didn't have anything. Those two things. You also didn't have municipalities. So in the water, lots of bacteria, lots of bad little guys working themselves through. So you want to heat up the wine if you want to make grape juice, but you also are going to let the wine ferment in a natural process, like in the case of the wedding at Cana. And it's going to take all of the bacteria out of the wine. You're going to want pure wine in this meal. You're going to want all the bacteria removed, because these elements represent the purity of our Lord. He was without spot. He was without blemish. He was without sin, like a lamb for the sacrifice. So this meal is different than all others. It's not a buffet. It's not cafeteria food where you get to pick and choose all the different things that you want. No, the elements have already been designated in this meal. They have not only been designated, they have been provided by the host. By the host. And our host, of course, is God. It's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And the word that I think about when I think about the host, as I think about sacrifice with the meal, is I think about calling. Now, I didn't grow up in the country. I grew up in the city. Many of you grew up in the city, but some of you here that are older, you might have grown up in the country, and your mom had a dinner bell. And so she would go out on the porch, and she would ring that bell. And what was the intent of ringing that bell? What was she trying to say to the rest of the family? It was time to cease working, and it was time to come to the table. Because dinner has been prepared. Dinner is ready. And so she was calling all of the family to come to the table to partake of dinner. And that's what this table is about. This table is about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who has called each one of us to come to this table. You know, in Romans chapter 3, it says, no man seeks God. The Bible says that we didn't choose him, he chose us. We didn't go looking for him, he was the initiator who came looking for us. It wasn't us who loved God first, it was God who loved us first. And then I think one of the most beautiful verses in the New Testament, I need to read this to you in Ephesians chapter 2. Paul writes, and you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the distress of the flesh and of the mind. Not a pretty picture. And were by human nature children of wrath, just as the others. And then verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, and even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. For by grace you have been saved and raised up together, and he made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. That's what you call a run-on sentence. But we'll allow it here. Amen? Wow. Talking about where we've been and what God did in response. You see, at the table, the Lord is going to call and has called each one of us. He called people like the woman caught in adultery, or the woman at the well, or the tax collector like Matthew. Or who else? Zacchaeus. He called people like the disciples, even like Peter, who said, depart from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man. You see, our Lord, he provided this table. It's a place where we all can come to. And you know, at this table, this table never runs out of room. There have been times when we've had people, a lot of people, over to our house to eat. And I think one of my greatest concerns when that happens is, am I going to have enough places for people to sit down to eat? I would hate to have a lot of people sitting down and talking and fellowshipping and having a great time and treating their taste buds and their stomachs and all that, and yet not have enough room so that someone has to stand up and feels like they're left out or there's not room for them. That's not what this table is about. I want you to notice this morning that all of you are seated. You all been working this week, you've been doing all your stuff, but you've come and you've seated yourselves, and at this table, that's what we do. We sit down and eat. The Lord is saying, I want you to come to this place because you need rest, and I want to give it to you. It's time to eat at my table. It's time for me to share more of my life with you as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, because God is in the business of changing people's lives. The Bible says that when we become a believer, that we pass from death to life and from darkness to light. God wants to renew our minds, Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, and transform our lives. And so the Lord not only gives us these symbols that we have represented this morning, but He gives us something else. Remember at the Last Supper what Jesus did. Remember they observed the elements there. And then Jesus took the basin with the water and the napkin, and He began to wash the disciples' feet. Peter says, oh no, you can't wash my feet, Lord. You know, I'm not going to let you. He said, if I can't wash your feet, then there's no deal. All bets off. Paraphrase. Oh, then wash everything. Lord, you're already washed. All of you are already washed and you're clean. In other words, in a positional sense, you're justified before God. You're forgiven for your sins eternally when you ask the Lord to come in your life, but you still need a foot washing from time to time, because the world is a dirty place to live in, and we all get caught up in it. No wonder the genius of God commanding us to observe the Lord's Supper. We need a foot washing. We need His life. And something else we need. We need each other. Each other. Yes, God loves every single one of us individually and in a unique sense. But He also loves us as a community, because He calls us the body of Christ. He calls us the bride. He calls us brothers and children who represent His family. And that's why it's a really good thing you showed up today. It's a good thing. It's a wonderful thing. I'm so thankful for the meal that's like no other. For the God who is unique, for this table, and for each of you. Let's pray. As you're praying about your own life and getting ready for the supper this morning, is there someone here who needs to make a decision for the Lord? Maybe there's someone here today who feels that call for the very first time from the Lord. That calling where Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in. That invitation where the Lord said through John, to as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become the children of God. Why do we need to become a child of God? Why aren't we already children of God when we're born? Because we're sinners. Because we've broken God's law. And we owe God a debt we could never pay. That's why Jesus died on the cross. For each of us, He paid your debt. The only thing left is your response. To turn away from your sin
and turn to Him. And you can do that right now. Pray this with me. If you hear that call, that knock on your heart, dear Lord Jesus, save me right now. Come into my life. Forgive me. I turn away from my sins and I turn towards you. Lord, be my Savior and Lord, and make me the kind of person you want me to be. Change my life and take me to heaven when I die. I want to be in your family.